gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather around for the newest installment.
Let's just do it as a funny, ironic thing to not say.
Episode number 23. The Ronnie Brown episode
of Chrome Bills.
My favorite left-handed running back of all time, y'all.
Yo, he's a wildcat.
Wildcat. Yeah, yep. A lot of stuff to talk about, man. We had Chuck and I had a crazy weekend.
Yeah, let's recap and say that last weekend, Cole left his basement for the first time in 17 months and actually went outside and even went far enough to visit money-making Manhattan, Manny Haha.
I didn't see grass for 48 hours. I was really freaked out.
How much dog poop did you see?
There was a couple times where I walked by a pile of poop on the ground. I was like, there's no way a dog just made. That's a lot of poop.
Yeah.
Where was I during this? Just not even paying attention?
You know, there was one point where you and I were walking from Penn Station, I think back to your place, and we both walked by, and I swear we both looked at the same pile of poop. You were in the middle of saying something, and I was like, all right, like, I don't want to interrupt him to talk about that. But I felt like we both saw it and just was just like, it's what it is. It's what it is, y'all.
It's what it is.
Poop in these streets.
Shit on the streets.
I remember we were walking through Penn Station, and you were like, wow, that girl has a really good voice. I was like, oh, right. I didn't even notice anyone was singing. Like, I'm just so used to toning out this environment. I was like, you're here? I could have sworn I had headphones on.
This chick singing for money. Uh-huh. I mean, it was crazy. I bet 90% of the people it doesn't even register for them.
Right.
And after my third trip there, it wouldn't register either for
me. Shut the fuck up with all that positive noise.
No, I mean...
Oh, you liked it. You still liked it on the third
time. Well, that wasn't so much the point. It was just like, you become so desensitized and start filtering out your environment.
Uh-huh.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to, man.
Yeah. I ain't got time for this
shit.
You'd
be spinning around in circles handing out money.
I was looking at Kickstarter today, and I was thinking, like, who makes a decision as to where to send money to for this? Like, there's way too many of them now. You know what I mean? How would you pick which one is the most worthy?
Cole, what
Can
is
anybody
the...
do a Kickstarter thing?
Oh, you know what we should do? Huh. We should facilitate a hurricane hitting your studio.
Oh, wow.
That's the only way to guarantee to get money is by natural disasters.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Is there
Too
a boo soon. Button on that on the soundboard where it just goes, boo, like the Homer Simpson in front of the IRS? No, I wanted to ask, Cole, how much money are you asking for on the Kickstarter?
I'm asking for $3,000 to assist in the funding of making videos and merchandise for the new Broken Clock album. I'm shooting the promo video for it on December 15th. I hope to have it up and running by January, if at the latest, early February. I'd like to raise $3,000 to be able to make 4 videos, press up stickers and everything. And also, what I'm hoping by doing those things, it'll facilitate a better shot at me getting picked up by a label.
Dope.
So...
Have you started the Kickstarter yet?
I mean, I signed up for it. You know, I was going to send you guys an email in terms of what would make a good... Because the thing I'm having a hard part with is the title. Because it says, don't use words like support, fund. You know, it's just... Like, what I was thinking was, Seize Mikes is making videos and merch for the new Broken Clock album. And then that would be like, oh, like, I've heard of that dude or whatever. But then I ask for the money once you watch the video. But even that, that's like... It's a pretty long fucking title. So
3,000 isn't that much.
No, it's not. Well, they say start small, because if you don't get what you're going for, all the money gets refunded. That would look bad if I couldn't raise $3,000.
Yeah.
I feel like if I started one,
does a sleepover at your house for $1,000.
Pay these mics to stop rapping. Like, God, I made so much money.
If I started one for Chrome Bills, I think we would get less than $500.
True.
Well, how many apps do you think we need to get to before we can start thinking about that?
We should just stop now.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. Episode 23, the Ronnie Brown episode, and we're out. Chrome Bills. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Finale. Hey, you should. You know what we should do? Just keep plugging the podcast, but stop doing it. Like on Facebook, I'll just post up, man, check out our podcast. We're on iTunes. We're like, when are y'all going to do this? Just that last episode was like 4 years ago.
Just in case you missed it, here's episode 4 where we talk about the Super Bowl featuring the Ravens and 49ers.
Right. Timely. Timely stuff, fellas.
Analyze whether or not Joe Flacco will get a max contract.
Joe Flacco. So anyway, as we were saying, I went up and visited Chuck. It was a good time. We were in Manhattan. We were in Brooklyn. If someone on Sunday morning when I woke up after a night of drinking had come up to me and said, I will shoot you in the face right now, I would have grabbed the barrel of the gun and put it to my fucking temple. I was that hard thing.
Freaking hangovers.
I was so banged up.
You guys drinking everything?
Yeah. I had an interesting discussion about that too when I got back with Barack. He was like, were you mixing alcohol?
Yeah.
I don't think it's what you're drinking. I think it's how much of it.
I think it's a mixture, man.
Okay. Okay.
So I feel like your body processes things differently. If it's got the same thing to process all night,
right?
Fine. But now you're putting other things in the mix.
I would defer
to our resident alcoholic on this
one.
If only we knew someone who has a crippling alcohol addiction.
I think if you just drink beer, then that's where maybe the sticking to one thing is true.
Okay.
But if you sit there and have like 14 vodka drinks, you're fucked regardless. It's not that you are mixing different things.
That's true.
Like, I think once liquor's involved, there was liquor involved and some hype songs. Once the liquor's involved, it's over and done. Yo, Cole was the perfect mix of off the vaporizer and drunk where he started. He was like, alcohol's so fun, man. I totally get it. Like, there's just so many different ways to do it. Like, we were drinking beer. I had a pickleback. Now I'm drinking a whiskey smash. I was like, yeah, the philosophy. It's like, what do you think drew me to it?
Then the next day, you know, it was one of those things where I'm glad drinking's not a vice for me. Because there are things, you know, like with certain fast food restaurants, I'm like, I should never eat there again. And then, the last time I ate at Arby's, I was leaving, and I actually said, the next time I'm thinking Arby's, stop thinking.
Arby's
that place
is
gross. And
it's
afterwards,
disgusting.
I feel bad. Drinking, I never feel worse about anything than I do the day after I've been drinking a lot. That's the fucking worst.
Cheers to you, my friend.
I've been too high at times. The next day, I'm like, all right, like, I'll calibrate that next time. Drinking the next time, I'm like, I never want to fucking do that again.
Is there a high hangover?
Is there such
a thing?
You can get too high, and then just it's not a pleasurable experience. I wouldn't say there's any physical like repercussions, but you're like, oh, I thought about like my dead relative for 12 hours straight. That wasn't fun.
True, that's not fun. Oh, shit, we forgot one of the most famous 23s of all time.
Go for it.
Ryan Sandberg.
Can't
Yo, good
my
call.
Man.
Damn, we almost let that slip through.
I can't even believe we let that slip by.
This does segue into our new Chrome Bills segment called What Are You Drinking? Seas, what are you drinking tonight during tonight's podcast? Tonight.
I'm also drinking.
Oh, you scared the shit out of me. I thought that was actually happening. I was like, I ain't got time. I'm tired.
He's remixing this podcast.
connect.
What are you drinking, Seas?
I'm drinking a little Sean Don champagne. I'm drinking my wife's pink champagne tonight.
Oh, man.
And I'm also wearing her pink underwear.
Like, it's cool if a woman's drinking her husband's beer.
Right.
But a dude drinking his wife's shit, that's kind of lame.
I don't feel bad about it at all.
That was a very sexist thing
it's
I just
delicious,
said.
It's delicious, yeah.
I have a very
Chuck,
good friend of mine. I had a very good friend of mine tell me that his favorite thing to drink was champagne when we were at an open bar. It was actually when I was at the YouTube Awards. Who are you? A friend of mine told me his favorite thing to drink was champagne, and it's a constant battle not to look down on him, but I've been pretty successful.
You want to talk about a bad thing to be hung over on? Because champagne's all sugar. That's the worst.
Like, shit hurts.
New Year's Day, that's always kind of brutal.
Yeah.
To answer your original question, I'm drinking
It was your question.
Very, very tall. Well, you flipped it on me. A very, very tall vodka soda. Like a minute bowl tall.
I saw you hold it up. I think you held the glass with two hands when I saw you on the screen.
Hey, my video's behind. It'll show up in a second. There you go.
There we go.
There it is. So for all the listeners out there, please go to soundcloud.com/ChromeBills.
Fuck that.
And write a little comment and tell us what your favorite drink is.
That shit is so played.
What?
You should subscribe to us on iTunes because Chrome Bills, as of yesterday morning, every episode so far is on iTunes.
Oh, shit.
SoundCloud, my ass.
How do you find it on iTunes?
When you go into iTunes, well, they have the app for podcasts if you're on an iPhone. Mm-hmm. On computers, who would sit and listen to a podcast
What's
at their
a computer?
Go into iTunes, however you're going to do it, or the podcast app. Search Chrome Bills, C-H-R-O-M-E space B-I-L-L-S. It comes up pretty quick. I was surprised. Like, it was one of the like, top three. We have a good name. Like right. nobody else. There's like a combination. It's like antioxidant banana. It's like, you know, yeah. there's a couple of those.
Yeah, that's a pretty good podcast.
It's funny that C's Mikes and K Chromosome finally wised up and made a name that was impossible to misspell.
What's your name? It's your boy Conjugation. I'm a poet.
Did you notice who the first commenter on the Chrome Bills iTunes page was?
No.
Stumpy D, dude.
Was
it? Yeah.
Stumpy.
No, I'm really Stumpy. Can I get some help getting up to the keyboard, y'all? I can't get to the keyboard. Stumpy D. That was a good pull.
That's amazing. I didn't know there were comments up there yet. We've been getting a lot of comments on the YouTube, on the SoundCloud page, too.
Right.
I don't know who any SoundCloud of these people are, but they're dead to you.
Yeah.
I want to promote the Twitter, too. I think that we're going to start a segment of questions. It's going to be called Ask C's. It's kind of like Ask Jeeves.
Yo, but, I'm so down with that. I need
it'll
more
It'll be Ask C's, and all you got to do is at K Chromosome or direct message. Oh, sorry, at Chrome Bills or at K Chromosome.
Yo, this is how antisocial I am. I have my own Twitter, and they're sending questions for me to you.
Yeah, just send them to me, and that way I can filter them. Otherwise, Cole will just cancel his account and send a follow Friday out to
hey,
you.
Hey, C's, I have a quit. Delete. Dunsky. I have my own thing. It's called the Anti-Social Network.
I guess we're 2 weeks back on, you know, when we're recording and what's actually available. So this is episode 23. I listened to 21 today for the first time. And the intervention about Cole using Follow Friday.
It's amazing.
Fucking golden.
I'm a recovering addict. Recovering addict.
Fucking golden.
I got pretty drunk. You know, a lot of people, I feel like they haven't seen their boy in a while. They get drunk. They're like, man, like, you know, you really helped me through high school and shit. Like, I actually at one point said to Chuck, after berating him for about an hour about the merits of the 1991 New York Giants defense.
Yes.
I just broke down and said to him, you know what? Like, thank you, man. You kind of saved me from getting too deep in the Follow Friday game. Like, I was starting to have, you know, I was losing relationships. My family was looking down at me. I was just doing it too much. And then Chuck was like, but you need to chill with the pound FF. Get that out of your blood system. And I did.
Let's do something new with it.
Or nothing at all.
Or don't do anything at all. That's easier.
Here's the point.
Stop. I like that option.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Hey, speaking of episode 21 real quick before we pass on that, I do have the errors and omissions from that episode. I've got three of them. I don't know if you guys are actually doing it as well.
Go ahead.
I want to first apologize to Mike Song and KRNFX, who is a combination of beatboxer and breakdancer, but I had him flipped. The beatboxers, KRNFX. I actually got Cole to watch it over the weekend when we were up in New York.
It was very impressive.
It's,
he's just
the guy's
standing in
really
the kitchen
fucking
killing
dope.
It. Yeah.
Cool. Who was standing in the kitchen?
Me, beatboxing. I was killing it.
Okay.
Even though I am crippled by fart snare anxiety, I was killing it.
No, it was KRNFX. Check out, he's got a really cool thing where he layers and builds up to the Daft Punk song, Get Lucky. Dope. It's really cool and even sings on top of it. A couple things for you guys. There was an argument or just a discussion. Actually, it was a full-blown argument. I think punches were thrown. Casual and Saphir. Of whether or not when Saphir was on the Casual album, if it was
Thank
the
you.
First track
Thank
or in
you.
The middle of the album. And fittingly, the song is called That's Bullshit. And according to Wikipedia, it is track 6 on the album.
Yeah, so I was right.
Fuck.
I told you.
Steve was wrong. Do we have a wah, wah,
what sense
wah,
would that make that he would
board?
Be the opening track?
I feel like you
just ripped the scab off, Chuck. Because I'm ready to throw down about this one.
And then the other one was... Actually, it might be bad because I think Steve's wrong in both of these.
I'm getting that makes sense. I have the album out right here. Don't worry, you guys keep.
Was
keep
Dido on. In the Stand video? There was an interesting story about her not originally wanting to be in it and being reluctant, but she was in it, and she also had a quote that when she was on the toilet in the video, it was not her finest moment.
So yeah. I was right about that, right?
No, I was right about.
Oh, okay.
That. I was right on both counts.
Okay. Fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand in the corner over here.
Never
try to find my casual tape.
Never have an argument about memory with someone who's really high. I feel like if you get just a little high, your memory goes. But when you get super high, that's when you're on point.
All right.
The Chrome Bills podcast does not condone drug use. No. I think we're going to mix up the format a little bit today. Steve, you want to tell them what we got coming? Maybe sneaking in a couple songs?
So we thought, you know, to eliminate the potential, to reduce the potential for stagnant conversation, we decided to break Chrome Bills up into three segments here. Talk, then some tracks that K Chrome has been listening to recently.
Yeah.
So here's the first track.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to. I was going to intro it. This will work out fun. I want to give a shout out to Detroit producer and MC. Originally got on, you know, doing beats for Slum Village, who goes by the name of Black Milk. I believe has put out some records on Fat Beats. This joint is called Sunday's Best. So please enjoy. Shit is fire. Chrome Bills, we'll be right back.
Who are you?
Ayo, rise in the AM, early morning lay in. I just wanna stay in, I just wanna lay in. Pops like, get your ass up, stop the faking. We already late in. Sunday morning waking, faking like my stomach's aching. Mom pull out clothes, this a Sunday special occasion. Bow tie, no lie, church shoes was aching. 80 degree weather in the blazer, body blazing. Already can't wait until this day in. Just a little nigga that would rather be home video gaming. Now we on our way in. Deacon speaking, preaching to that congregation. Mason. Minds wandering off, not hearing that man of the cloth. Talk about that man on the cross. Now we back to praying. Old ladies with church fans screaming out, amen. Looking at that painting on the stained glass. Watching why that collection plate pass. Ties offering to me is all the same cash. Fast forward, got older, a youngin' that gone bad. Let me rephrase that, a youngin' that went down that wrong path. No matter how religious moms and pops was, still had encounters with the cops some. Quite a good environment I was in. Once I left that front door, I could have been out of here. Bullets flying is the norm, so most kids walk without a fit. Friends dying is the norm, so they walk without a tit. Rather tatted on their face to who's weight. While the old head is yelling, it's never too late. Too late, 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 too late.
There it is, Black Milk, coming from Detroit. Dude, a lot of good music coming out of Detroit. Each of you guys have heard that song before or no?
No.
I've heard it 100 times at this point.
I think I'm at 1,000. I'm a huge fan of that song.
It's a super dope song, man. His production is deceptively complex is how I would like to put it. Because there's tons of layers to that, and it sounds like he's just rhyming over like a loop or something, but that's...
There's a lot more going on.
There's a lot going on there, yeah.
It's like Steve. Yeah. You know, your personality, it seems like you're just, you know, on some basic shit, and then you got a lot going on.
I do have a lot going on.
There's a lot of layers to Steve Jarrett.
There's layers to this shit.
And I also like that in that song, and maybe you noticed this too, Chuck, is that he goes, "Hey, yo." He says "Ayo," and I always like that.
Ayo, isn't there a Ayo. Big L? Isn't there a big L portion in there? I meant to ask you what that part is, right where he comes in. And
I
he's
left
like,
him on a four split and phlegm out.
Yes,
you see that? I want my squeeze the gat and pop 10 out. You see, Cole? That's from the same track actually that we sampled. Ayo.
Nice.
And I don't know the name of that. Oh, dude, we forgot another famous 23, Ron Artest.
Oh, that's a good point. Is that his current number, or is he still in the 90s?
I think he's still in the 90s now, but...
The 90 now. I liked how Helter Skelter like didn't want to say the specific year in case you were a year or two late getting up on them,
but
so they would say
they still said
it was the 90 now. That was going to be my point, is that they weren't like, it's just now.
Right.
Are you guys sharing a bottle of champagne?
I actually thought he took a sip of it, and I was gonna go crazy.
No.
I was about to lose
after it. Because of what I said, or because that's gross?
No, because it's delicious and I didn't want you drinking that.
That's rude.
I know. It is rude.
Of me or of you?
Of me.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Is that label pink? Man, you're going nuts. I don't know about all this. I know. I mean, we got to create a little theater of the mind. Steve has a champagne bottle. The label, the ribbon around the top. First of all, champagne is kind of, that ain't the coolest thing in the world. I'm surprised that blew up the way it did in the hip-hop community. I get it that it's expensive, but that's not like the coolest looking thing I've ever seen.
Champagne? Yo, before we go past that point, okay, I actually, all right, that's really a really astute observation. Yeah. Why the fuck did champagne get so big in hip-hop? Just because it's just the most expensive shit?
Yeah, there's this societal, like, it's like the gold medal of society. I get that. I get that in terms of the symbolism, but it's not a very practical thing to hype up.
Man, I really botched these instrumentals. It's awesome.
Do you want to talk about the beats that you prepared and how proud of them you are?
I guess I was a little bit tipsy last night when I put these things together, and there's like very sloppy blends going on.
Yo, it's DJ Layer Cake ripping here.
Hey, this record, this is too fresh, groove busted. For those who give a shit.
It sounds like two German kids. Like their name in German was like translated into English.
And now
is it again?
Too Fresh is the name of the groove.
Too Fresh.
Groove busted.
Oh, that was the song. Yeah. I feel like when you put two verbs together in a sentence or like in a name, it just makes everything sound fucked up.
Right.
Or foreign. Right. You know?
And this is Supreme Force. Now we had to come out fresh. And this is the first group that Freddie Fox was in.
Really?
Late 80s.
Freddie Fox.
So he was old, like, when he started doing stuff with Premier, but it wasn't because he was, like, working at a grocery store. He'd been doing a lot of shit already.
Dude, this is late 80s? Like, yeah. 80, Freddie Fox has been around for a while.
That sounds
dude, cool. where did Frankie Cutlass come from?
I have no idea where Frankie Cutlass came from.
I'm going to Google that.
DJ. But I think Freddie Fox was 40 years old in 1988, and he was born 40. He's always been 48 years old.
He will always be 48 years old. He's like, what are y'all talking about? Jesus, I was 48 years old during that time. I know what happened.
Haven't you heard that lyric when he was like, KRS-One, when my son has a son, I'm going to get him a gun.
Wow. He dated himself. He yeah. did.
Steve
didn't.
Steve,
I'm going to buy him a gun. I love that album, man. BDP, Sex and Violence.
Sex and Violence, probably my favorite KRS-One or BDP album. You guys got one?
Interesting choice. Interesting. Return of the Boom Bap from New.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Just because Out of Here's on it.
That's.
I think that's my favorite rap song.
It's a vicious fucking song.
The beat, the message. Plus, it's like the last song. It's such a. I feel like.
Out of Here's track number two on that album.
Is it? Wasn't Saphir number one on the Casual album? Anyway.
Look that up.
I feel like, in terms of. It accomplishes so much. You know, it's such a good theme song. Like, it's a good anthem. It's a good concept song.
Taking
like, yo, all this bullshit's going to end soon. Like, you could use it to close out a show.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Motherfuckers are asking me if I like the new, like, Eminem Justin Bieber album. Song. Yeah. I mean, the Eminem, I get it. There's nothing on any Eminem album that comes close to Out of Here. I realize that's a big thing to say, but that's absolutely true.
By the way, I sent out an interview to you guys, Eminem on the BBC.
You did.
And there was a part in that interview, first of all, did yes or no, did you guys both check it? And don't elaborate.
Yes. It was blocked in my office, so I did not watch it. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Complex Magazine is blocked at my old place and your current place of employment. So I just want to say, how dare you shit on a sponsor like that? Because this episode of Chrome Bills is brought to you by Complex Magazine. So there was a part in that where Eminem was kind of deadpanning and joking, and he talked about the guy was talking about how good Rap God is. He's like, it must have felt really good when you accomplished that song. He's like, are you kidding me? I freestyled it in one take.
Right. Shut up.
And he's obviously being sarcastic, but he deadpans it so much, and then they just go on to the next thing that at least 5% of people that see that will think he was being serious.
Right.
The YouTube comment section is going to go crazy.
Here's something I'd like to bring up in regards to all that. One of the first rap albums I bought was the 36 Chambers. And then I think before that or after that, I bought Cypress Hill, the first one. Like, I remember it was like 5 years before I saw who Method Man was. I feel like the way stuff is now, to be able to listen to somebody's album and then see more interviews than actual albums that they have out, that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, I really used to get a big kick out of being like, oh, like, that's what B-Real looks like. Like, after not having known for 2 fucking years. Whereas now, everybody, you can just...
There's a certain level of mysticism that's been removed.
Mysticism. That's what... I missed that.
This is a message to all up-and-coming rappers. Do not let your face be shown on YouTube, but please join the Chrome Bills podcast to at least keep the anonymity of your appearance up.
Hey, so, Chuck, in that interview... how was this guy, that guy Zane Lowe, how was he during the interview? Because when he did the interview with Kanye, he was like, he might as well have been sitting on Kanye's lap doing
dick that. Riding.
So this interview, same thing?
I didn't want to go in, but since we're going there, there was some dick riding going on.
Which is only natural, you know.
But I mean, this is even like
we
if
do
Steve
the, we
Jarek,
would do the same. I do the same thing.
If Steve Bills had interviewed Eminem, as big of a fan as he is, you would have toned it down and not been like as into it as you were, like, say, during episode 21. This dude was at times 10.
Okay.
We all, you know, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, which are, you know, just basically interviews. The Daily Show, people are getting interviewed, Colbert Report. Like, I see enough interviews to know what the middle of the road is and having the proper respect for your guest and then just fucking sucking them off.
Was he critical at all?
No.
He wasn't like, you know, sometimes sometimes you do some strange things on record. And
no.
Okay.
No, he wasn't even like hedging the cocksucker.
Sure.
What, you know, and I mean, if that's how a dude honestly feels, fine. But now that I've seen it twice, I'm just like, that takes away from your interview when it's that obvious.
What do you think an artist would rather hear? Like, you're perfect or here's things you could improve
challenging
on?
Questions.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if the interview presents it as, I'm not judging you, but here's something that needs to be asked. As opposed to like, that was amazing, over and over.
I mean, I still think Nardwuar has a place in music interviews.
Yeah.
Can I get a who are you over there?
Who are you?
That Nardwuar, be sure to check out Nardwuar online, just search it on YouTube. Because A, like, he has his sort of own steez, albeit a character, but like the research is incredible. So like, you're gonna interview someone, you know, take them to a place, like a non-threatening place. Don't be like, how did you feel when you lost that battle and they talked about your mom? You know, right. Go to a place of like, when this happened or when that happened, and kind of like the less covered things. Hey, Eminem, you have a new album out. Let's talk about the 4 singles. What was it like to work with Rick Rubin? Like, that's great that you got to do that interview, and I pat myself on the back to do it. But honestly, like, how many times in the next 6 months are people going to ask how it was to work with Rick Rubin?
Well, here's the point that I was going to make with, in terms of what do those people want to be asked. Simply, they want to be asked a question that nobody else has asked them. Now, it shouldn't be something like, if you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be? But it should be an interesting angle on something that a million people have asked about. You know what I mean? Like, I know this, everybody knows this particular thing about your career, but not many people have asked you this. What's that question? That's why, when we do interviews, we got to think that way.
I would ask him if he liked the first Kwame album. The first Kwame album is actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think that it was the documentary with Ice-T was the only time I ever even heard someone really go into like who Eminem's influences were.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you
have to stop talking about him. I'm sorry.
Eminem.
Okay.
Yo, let's go change it up. I've got a, how about Kendrick Lamar? You know, Kendrick Lamar was recently on the cover of GQ. And I've actually, that was one of my things to talk about. Did you hear anything about Kendrick Lamar being on the cover of GQ?
I saw that he was on the cover, and then they were like saying that the interview was questionable, like, or something.
Yeah,
like
they
were spinning his answers, or no?
They basically said that some of the interview is kind of racist.
But why didn't they say it at the time of the interview?
Well, that's where Complex Magazine... This episode of Chrome Bills is brought to you by Complex Magazine.
We need to get picked up by Complex Magazine.
That Complex Magazine did, for once, instead of writing just a list of like the 9 worst rapper Kangols, like, did something where they did real research. And they're like, if Kendrick and TDE had a big problem with this article, it's interesting that it took 3 days of no one talking about the article, including their Twitter accounts, like, retweeting the article several times and talking about what an honor it was to be in it, come out at it. So I don't know the whole story. I'm not going to get on here and act like I do, but I think it's an interesting thing if you guys have any opinions on it.
That's fucking lame. If they 3 days after nobody was checking it out, they tried to make it into a controversy just to get eyes on it. But see, that's the fucking problem.
Oh,
man.
Boy. Oh, boy.
That's the fucking problem. The whole Incognito Martin thing. I mean, obviously, what Incognito
Who's Incognito Martin?
Yeah, what is that?
You're being... Chuck's being facetious.
I got it now. All right.
I don't know what... Oh, like Richie Incognito.
Richie Incognito. I was like, yo...
I thought there was a rapper named Incognito Martin.
I did, too. I was like, put him in the group. Yeah.
Well, see, he was
he's
like...
He's in different styles.
He was like, man, K-Chromosome sees mics. I got to be real complicated with my shit. Martin. Incognito Martin.
I thought you were talking about Invisible MC.
I feel like, to a man, even Ricky Williams, who's like, he got kicked out of the lead for smoking pot, basically, and then like told the team, I'm out because you won't let me smoke pot. That's what he did in Miami. Even he was like, look, like, what he did was wrong, but you hear that 50 times a day in every NFL locker room. You're going to hear it again and again. Like, it's not going to stop. And I feel like the media was the only people being like, yo, like, can you believe that this is happening? And even when everybody's like, yeah, I really can. I really can believe it. They're just like, but can you believe it? Like, that's the problem I have with what Complex is doing. Not our sponsor, GQ. If the article wasn't getting eyes, and then they start spinning it, like, well, were we racist? You know what I mean? Like, that's basically what they're
Complex
asking.
Has issued, like, no, or, God, I just did the same thing.
Wow. GQ. Complex.
GQ has, like, done little to nothing to respond to it. You know, it's
why
just,
would they?
Why would they?
But, yeah, you're saying, so if anything, it's TDE.
Well, no, but they're getting eyes on
Kendrick. But it's Kendrick, like, kind of spinning it. And, I mean, when you look at the controversy that Control caused, I mean, we need to create some controversy with this podcast.
I don't know what the fuck the article said or the interview, so it's really hard for me to speak intelligently about this.
Or period.
Ah-ha-ha. He-he-he.
Or about anything.
Right, well, fuck it. Who else do you want to talk about?
I kind of want to talk about the game last night.
Can we get a shout-out to Pig Food Records?
You know what? Thank you to Dude Computer of Pig Food Records for getting the Chrome Bills logo, which you can find on iTunes and SoundCloud and Twitter, but also for getting our episodes. I mean, Steve, you put in a lot of work.
True.
But let's be honest.
I didn't do that much.
The man who deserves the credit is Dude Computer of Pig Food Records.
At Dude Computer at Twitter?
No, he actually doesn't have a Twitter, I think is so awesome.
That's cool.
At Pig Food Records, and then there's pigfoodrecords.com. But, you know, I feel like that's something that we should chat out.
Definitely.
I'm still asking.
Go ahead. Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so for those of you who aren't subscribed yet, subscribe to us at www.soundcloud.com/chromebills.
Don't go to SoundCloud. Go to iTunes.
And then go
press
to
play
iTunes.
Repeatedly. Send the link to your uncle and tell him that instead of him being creepy with you at Thanksgiving, you're going to talk about this podcast. You know what? That could be our niche. We want people who go to parties and like family gatherings who are just like, God, what am I going to talk about? Like, it's so uncomfortable. We want to be the podcast for those people.
I actually got a niche.
All they do is talk about us. All right.
People who work at record stores. Okay. Should be playing this over.
Yeah, because that's a thriving market.
You get bored. He's right.
Like, what's a dwindling thing that we could latch onto just as it's sinking into the depths of meaninglessness?
Yo, if you're using dial-up internet and not using Chrome Bills as your login on Net Zero.
If you guys knew anything, you'd know that vinyl sales have increased over the past 5 years.
Okay.
It's true. That's true.
A dead industry, so...
I feel like that's like saying, like, we should get sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza, because, like, five of them throughout the country sold, like, 20 pizzas last year. It's like, yeah, but...
Who was the Herman Cain Starang? What was the... Was he Godfather's Pizza?
Can I,
That's funny.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Hey, do you want to intro the song, too?
Song number two. I forgot what song it is.
Static Selector. Yo, this Black Thought verse on this song is the hottest shit ever.
Let's do this, man, for real. We smoke big blunt cigars, it's us. It's obvious, kids, we regulate up shit, moving through brush. The beats is grim, the ambiance plush. The speaker wall bang, the sneaker wall lust. Snitches wish dead, the eagle gon' bust. Catch you in the wrong spot, you dust. Static, yo, bring the habit, this is magic. Fake niggas flee out, fly out the mouth, I get you gadded. Sports cars, we endorse yards. Everybody four stars, weigh like 40. Jerry Gordy, your creature game corny. I eat your dame, hop up on me. Head off the rip, grab the whip, rest maturely. Hang around the vets in the sweats. Since 97, we was Rolex and an extra. Fuck around 100 text, flash, flex, cash, drugs, money, and sex.
dumb check smashes.
Watching the game from a bird's eye view. They say it's hard to keep trust, so my third eye grew. Chakras open, but not gonna scope it. So I was smoking, hoping my best buzz ain't on the end for the tokens. Cause they say it's who you joking with, choking potent with. Tag team is joking, trick the ones to do some bogus shit. Act cool on the strip, but wanna put two on your hip. Mac and juice on your wits, boomer, you hit your school on your bitch. Frozen on my toes, bitches with my penises, kicking it since the womb. Now you see what the fetus is, and what the fetus is, where these niggas feed us shit. Rob a nigga for his number twos to put my feet in shit. Flow slippery, rise to the tip of the top. I'ma make hot drops, make snakes history. Dreams of living civilly in Sicily, laughing with the fan like
it's the elephant in the room. Created by a collision of the sun and the moon. My sonogram is the image of a gun in the womb that was soon to be doper than heroin in a spoon. I'm astonishing. Honestly, my future looking promising as my skin tone out of crystal clean onyxes. Darker thoughts let the beats break like the Amishes. I'm a stroke of genius like Nicolene Thomas's. Hip hopping, body rocking, doing it, dude. I am the living definition of improving the groove. I use the same tools to shoot that Kubrick used. Take your hero to the river, give him turmeric shoes. Who lose if you really ain't nobody till somebody love you? I say you ain't nobody till they speaking highly of you. And what I'm sure you wouldn't want is any kind of trouble, unless you got a crash dummy or a body double. You got a couple homies down to catch a homie for you. Well, I'ma fold niggas in the origami for you. The most notorious poet laureate, whole story is glorious, stoic warriors. And I got my eyes wide open on you quasi. Haters still smirking like the gators on the eye side. La Costa, y'all tomato head niggas are imposters. Long drawn out process, triple OGs got a worn out conscience. Reminiscing to when we was all out monsters on our Sierra Leone, reign of tyranny. I strike fear in they hearts, rappers stare clear of me black. Same code for Ayatollah, Range Rover, games over, bell folder. Give niggas that Ebola virus, huh? You got me chopped like Miley Cyrus. Nah, I'm on your block with Somali pirates.
For real, man, static, man, we're sturdy.
Yeah, y'all know I gets it on.
I ain't playing, I'm truly the worst.
I was born about this. This is for all I fuck, kid, represent, represent.
Pirates, like you're selling Molly, like pirates the who pirates. Sell Molly.
That's what I was for Halloween, actually, was a selling Molly pirate.
I'm some Molly pirates.
Go ahead.
Dude, is there anyone nicer on the mic than Black Thought, honestly? You guys can dick ride Eminem and Kendrick Lamar all you want. I'm going to take my Black Thought.
Whoa. That was a shot fired at me.
It was at all the listeners and myself, too. I'm obviously a big fan of all three of them.
Wait, yeah, you...
There's a fun fact.
You got take that Kendrick Lamar. Like, you didn't even say Trinidad James and Pusher T or something. You said...
I don't do much name dropping on here, but I'm about to. One day, Idea told me that his name originally came... he was like, oh, White Idea, when he heard Black Thought. You know what I mean? It was kind of a flip on that. Like, I think maybe it was like even kind of a joke. And then he was like, oh, that's kind of a dope name. And that's how he came
up with
Black Idea.
Instead of a Black Thought, he was a White Idea. Right.
A White Idea.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah. I'm out. What if I drop the mic? I got nowhere to go from but down from here, folks. I do that sometimes.
That was dope. You're always writing on your hand, too.
I am. You know, I think a lot of it is because I'm left-handed. I wonder if I would do it more if I was right-handed. Probably not.
Hmm. Food for thought.
I don't even know why that is.
Hey, yo, you must want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records as the dumbest motherfucker alive.
So, K-Chrome, thanks for picking the music out for tonight.
My pleasure.
What was the reason you picked that song for the Joey Badass verse or the Raekwon verse? Or the beat?
Yeah, honestly, that Black Thought verse, if you even watch the making of the song, he just comes in and hits it in one take and rolls out, you know, does it in what, 5 minutes? Hey, I'm here.
Are you serious?
My verse. All right, I'm leaving. Like, I just killed it. I just did the best verse of 2013. I got to go. Like, we're doing some TV show tonight. I don't know. Like, Barack Obama's on it. I got to roll.
When does that guy even find time to fucking write?
I don't know. Well, I wonder if you get to a point where you're doing this for a living where you don't write it down. You sit there and listen to a beat or like when you... Honestly, I was thinking about that. I haven't written anything. I'm not Black Thought, obviously. I haven't written anything down in a long time.
Really?
What do you mean?
Huh.
I'll just get, like, I'll have a beat and I'll just drive around listening to it or have it in my head. Maybe the first four bars I'll start writing, but everything after that, I'm like, if I keep, because I have a bad habit of getting too into the writing of it and not listening to how it's going to sound over the beat. So I stopped doing, like, interesting shit. I'm like, yo, like, I'm going to spit this, like, ill, crazy pattern that you can't do without punching in. I'd rather not do that.
No, don't do
that. I want to do straight takes.
Right.
So, but yeah, I wonder if those dudes even write stuff
down. Well,
how
do you remember it, like, 5 days later, though?
You know, honestly, the thing, I have a really bad memory, but the one thing that has stuck with me is, If it crosses my mind and I have this little flash of like, yo, that's dope, that's worth remembering it, I'll always remember it. You know, and then there's definitely stuff that I, like, at one point I was doing, I was like, what was that? I wasn't even, like, if I don't remember it, it probably wasn't worth it. If something super dope, I'll write it down. But for the most part,
that was always my argument when all the Herbs were, like, all over Lil Wayne and saying, he doesn't even write his rhymes down, like, he's freestyling the whole thing. I'm like, well, there's two different things. Like, if you're not writing the rhyme down versus freestyling, like, freestyling is coming right off the head. I'm like, you obviously know nothing of the recording process. If you went in and kicked a freestyle and we're going to put it on an album, there might be an issue where you said, like, the way you said a P, just popped, you popped your P. And if you're in a recording studio that's not in my bedroom, you know, then someone's going to be like, we got to redo that take. And you can't just be like, but I freestyled that.
Well, here's the other thing that I, like, I definitely agree with that. I feel like if it's a cipher among people that are just trying to prove to each other that they're good artists, that they can rap, yeah, like, I would like to see you freestyle just to see if you can do it. In front of an audience, just kill it. I don't care what you do.
Kick a verse.
Yeah. Don't say, I'm about to freestyle and then kick a verse, but, like, if you're not a good freestyler, then you have a good written, do that.
Yeah.
Not at a battle, but.
One MC that I don't know that we talked about as far as freestyling the other day.
Eminem?
Was Common.
Kendrick Lamar?
That guy, yeah. Common has, I'm always, like, I know that dude's a dope MC, but every time he freestyles, I'm like, God damn, this dude is on point. He's always on point with the freestyle.
He was the first major artist that I ever saw freestyle.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember him being at a show at the 930 Club and him taking topics from the crowd.
Right.
Man, I'd already been doing it with Freestyle Union.
Yeah.
So I knew it existed, but to see him do that shit blew my mind.
As a big artist, like, I feel
it's
like
a big risk to take.
It's going to be, and he that dude always comes through.
Yeah.
So respect to him.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he was on a Lyricist Lounge on, like, whenever the Lyricist Lounge Volume 1 came out.
In a barbershop,
and there's
right?
a cipher with him and Black Thought. I don't know who else is in it, but I still remember, like, he's 40 bars in off the dome, and he's like, I rock like crack, I'm ready to attack, thoughts is black, now you want to memorize my raps. Like, it's so fucking ill, and it's so blatantly off the top.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Respect due to those who can freestyle for real.
True.
You know what I mean? You know, here's one thing. Speaking of which, I'd like to give a shout out to Sage Francis. He has a new mixtape coming out. It's called Sick to Death. It's available on Bandcamp. You can go to strangefamousrecords.com to pre-order a copy of it, which I did. Sage Francis can freestyle his ass off.
This is a paid mixtape?
Yeah. I think it's $9.99 or name your own price or whatever.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that's the thing is he has a series of mixtapes involving the word sick, sick of waging war.
Oh yeah, I go back to Sick of Waiting Tables is my joint.
Yeah.
That's like,
so respect you.
1999.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Sage Francis album?
An Unhealthy Distrust. Or Unhealthy Distrust. Yeah. God, I always get the name. The first time
Unhealthy Distrust.
The first time I actually, like, I interviewed him when I was in college, and I called personal journal. I was like, in personal Bibles or something. Like, I was just nervous and said it wrong. And now every time since then, when I discuss, like, something he's put out, like, I have this fucking hang up in my head. And I just did it.
Right.
That's my worst
fear. I'm probably the type of person that, like, Sage hates having in his own fan base, where my favorite shit is nonprofits, which is, like, kind of the antithesis of his style. And
is it?
No, but I get where Chuck's going. I get what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit more boom bappy and less artistic. You know, let's talk like journalists and not rappers and use terms. I'd like to put him in a science rap box instead of putting him in a 90s boom bap box.
Yeah. Well, I was about to get real elitist and try and, like, make an argument against that, but you're absolutely right.
You were going to make an argument against not the nonprofit?
No. There you go. There you go, putting lipstick birthday cake in my mouth again.
Okay, right? Good. Parsing. No, parsing.
I was parsing.
I get what Chuck's saying in terms of, like, Because the Sage Francis stuff, the nonprofit stuff is more... It, like, if you had to classify something he's done as just a straightforward boom bap record, that's it. And I could see him maybe... See, that's the thing. I don't know that he feels that way. I really don't.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's a banger, for sure.
I mean, the production on that record maybe it's really good as well.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joe Beats.
Joey Beats.
I used to fuck with Escape Artist off of Healthy Distrust. That was the one I fuck with.
Sea Lion. That shit's amazing. I think Buzzkill is one of the best opening tracks I've ever heard. This is
Have I ever told you the story when I was talking to Joey Beats for like an hour? And and I asked him like what producers he was checking for. And he was like, honestly, like there's only a few producers I like checking right now. And then he told me that I was one of them. At which point I realized that we'd been talking for an hour and he thought I was someone else.
Who do you think? He
at least thought I was TECK of the Educated Consumers, so it was like
at least he
thought I was a really good friend of mine instead of he thought I was like Peyton Locke.
Yeah,
like someone I've never.
Like in terms of personality and appearance too. Like Jason and Chuck are very different people.
Yeah,
I'm like, where did you get that impression? I don't know. Who knows?
You're one of my favorite producers, Chuck.
We were at a show that like you guys had performed at, and I had done a song with, and I guess that just kind of I might have just put him on blast for how much he was paying attention. He was like, I saw you in the green room.
I can't tell you how long. I would do like a lot of Educated Consumer shows by myself. Like all the dudes from the 5-1, they're like, yeah, we thought you made the beats. I was like, dog, like I gotta get Jason to these shows. Like I'd probably done like 20 shows with like not even a DJ, just an iPod.
Wow.
That I should have taken credit for that shit. Like, yeah. Don't you feel sorry for me? You should buy some. I gotta do all this shit for nothing.
I'm working so hard.
I couldn't make beats. You know, I could see, you know what, I will say this.
It gets a little repetitive.
I feel like all the anxiety that people have, like particularly down here, like in terms of like going to New York was an interesting experience because I was like, I don't have time to worry about shit. I got to go here. I got to walk here. I got to plan that, you know, like, but in a good way. Like I had shit to do. I was productive with my time. And I do feel like walking, that's the main thing I miss in my childhood. I used to walk everywhere. Like now... Having gone at one point, Chuck and I had been walking around holding hands, sharing a lollipop for like 90 minutes. But he just, you know, he was like, "Do you mind walking?" I was like, "Yo, this is fucking dope." You know, we'd eaten. I was like, we got no place to be. Let's just fucking walk around and see shit. But I do feel like New York would be the kind of place for me. It would be good because I was so busy engaged. I don't think I would be able to write very well there, but I think I could make some dope beats there. Whereas down here, I'm like, I got more time to like think of clever ways to complain about shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's basically all my music is. So, but up there...
Very interesting. Clever ways to complain about things.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
If that's not an album title, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So, unless it's the...
I would beatbox more, but I got the fart snare anxiety. You know
or
what
it's
mean?
The You're supposed podcast to go, description.
It's, supposed, it's a K, right? It's a K, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm not even going to bother doing it.
Ask Max. Mm-hmm. I think it's a K.
Ax Max.
Ax Max about to beat Max.
What else we got, man? What else? I want to talk about. I know we're not supposed to get stuff that can't be evergreen.
Nothing personal here.
No, I want to talk about the Pats Panthers game last night.
I didn't fucking watch the game.
Did you see
guys
it, Chuck?
Talk about
I saw it.
It.
What'd you think of the them picking up the flag at the end?
I thought you were the one that wanted to talk about it.
Well, this goes out to all my football listeners. Nyaka, Mitch, like I know all you cats are into football, so we're definitely ringing you in.
Everybody loves football at this point. So.
Yeah. I felt like they completely blew it. It was nonsense how they tried to explain it. It's still nonsense what the referees tried to say. And like, this is an interesting situation where there is no opinion in this.
Gronk was trying to come back to the ball and the dude.
Well, not only that, what they said was it couldn't have been defensive pass interference because it occurred after the ball was out of the quarterback's hand and then it got picked off. If the ball had been thrown to the far left corner of the end zone and on the far right corner of the end zone, defensive holding took place as far away from the ball as possible and a flag had come out, it still would have been a penalty. That's what should have happened. Like to say that, oh, they made the right call, or I think people are just like, fuck Tom Brady, which has never made sense to me. But I think it's so fucking declarative that they just blew it. Doesn't mean the Pats would have won the game because they'd have had one more play from the 13. But it's the kind of thing where, like, when I see this stuff in the morning, like, on Yahoo, it was like, did the refs blow it? I'm like, dog, like, I answered that question 12 hours ago. I'm ready to move on to some other shit, you know?
Where was the game?
Carolina. Well, that was another thing. Props to Deadspin. They put out an article that listed like 12 of the most major decisions in the last, it was quite a while, like, because the last thing that they showed was, I think, the Red Sox Reds home run.
All home games.
Yeah, it was all home games.
Yeah, definitely the Golden Tate, like non catch.
Yeah.
Oh, they got rid of the.
And they were saying it's just human. I mean, you couldn't find a better example than that.
They don't want to get booted. They just don't want to.
The replacement refs don't. The professionals might be like, we've trained for this. Yeah. Those dudes on that Monday night game with the Packers and the Seahawks, they're like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I got to go sell some cars tomorrow. I don't have time for this.
All right, on a scale of 0 to 100, with 100 being pro wrestling, how manipulated is the outcome of an NFL game? With 0 being, three kids playing 21 in a park. And 100 being pro wrestling.
What do you think?
The first number that came to mind was 15.
Yeah.
Because there's so much scrutiny on it, it would be really hard to pull something off. Man.
Plus, those dudes are making so much money. What are you going to give them that would validate them fixing it?
Right.
What do you think, Chuck?
Who's making so much money that what would validate fixing it?
Well, are you talking about the players or the refs fixing it?
I'm talking about the refs working for the league.
I don't think they're susceptible. I mean, I'm sure that's me being naive because I'm such a big football fan. I think that, like, the replacement refs, what happened in that particular instance, like, it was so egregious that that would prove to me that they're not trying to fix it. Like, no one would do that shit trying to move the money line. That would be too fucking obvious.
Would you guys watch a lot of NBA, right?
Enough. I stopped watching a lot.
How fixed is, on a scale of 0 to 100, how about
I'm
the
putting
NBA
the NBA trying? Above 35.
Wow.
Like, I
wow.
definitely think a non-consequential regular season game, other than just your standard, a home team getting the call, is there. But, you know, like, the deep in the playoffs, I've just seen things where it's tough to even take the sport serious.
Yeah.
That series on Deadspin last year where they had the, whatever his name is, Tim
Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy,
yeah,
would do a column and talk about all the calls that,
yeah,
were probably like from called in from the league office, yeah, and shit. That was interesting, man.
Yeah.
But how do you fucking trust that guy?
Well, the other thing too is, like, I have, it's not even so much that for me. Like, when Jose Canseco was the dude who broke the steroid scandal in just a song that we're playing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Word up. Song number 3. Two white boys kick from the finish.
This ain't abnormal, my formal. Break you down to fragments. Don't watch Rap City, it's nothing but beauty pageants. Imagine people in Colesville, no clothes deal, flows real. Turn your little roadblocks to roadkill. Hold still. I weave them in my web like arachnids. Not racist, I'll serve white, Spanish, or black kids. Days you once too. Eskimos 3-4. We'll take a little detour. I'll leave you by the seashore. Be more is a place that I'd like to give props to. Here's a little taste of the rhymes that interlock to. The snare and the hi-hat. Don't stare where my eyes are at. I leave you with a vice. I had asking. You want fries? You know what's whack? Your mom's butt crack is heavier than my nutsack. Yo, D-E-C-K, where them cuts at? Yo, my reckless brain saw you massacred like Texas chains. Delivering pain, I mangle angles like Citizen Kane. Deliberate rain, Mr. Insane came to rip shop. Changed directions on Alfred Hitchcock and gridlock. Me and C's mice dwell in sediment crevices. Sedated cats on sedatives know that we're unrepetitive. Y'all better give your best ever verse. These experts spit lectures to make your neck hurt from the head work. Connect vectors, shots fired, I shock fires. Crazy enough to pour hot cider on angry Rottweilers. Rhyme skydiver, I buzz like yellow jackets. I drop metal fat shit, swelter fellows bracket. Expel madness, average savage habits. Smoke cabbage, torch MCs on my blacklist to ashes. Atlantic phone lines, hold line, giving off a gold shine with the way I mold lines. Spend my own time preparing pages for stages. Reach levels even viewed as outrageous for spaceships.
Check the energy in me and K-Chrome synergy. Stay home to avoid injury and going down in infamy. Spontaneously display symmetry. Simultaneously initiate imagery.
I heard the K-Chromosome is just a wordy jerk. But Joey runs shit like a Hershey squirt. I came into the world as a virgin first. Looking for the perfect nurse to let my serpent burst.
I don't even own a home, but I'm in the house with K-Chromosome.
plus it rhymed. Plus the fact that the last lyric was kind of in a pattern, and it went, K-Chrome was on NC's mics. Like, people were like, yeah, that is who that is.
Yeah.
It's us.
This is a spoon.
All right, we're coming back from that.
I thought you played another song.
And actually, I played the last Black Milk, but let's sign out real quick. All right,
I'm coming right here.
We're done already.
Chrome Bills 23, so take us out of here, K-Chromey.
Thank y'all for checking out Chrome Bills episode 23 for C's Mikes, Steve Bills, and K-Chrome. Peace, y'all.
Subscribe on iTunes. SoundCloud.
Do iTunes.
Twitter.
All right, iTunes.
Twitter.
And your uncle that you're going to talk to at Thanksgiving a favor. Subscribe on
Twitter,
iTunes.
Chrome Bills, holler at us.
Nah.
Bye.
Yeah, heater on a dresser. Stomach growling. I'm thinking, how can I make some dollars within the hours? It's funny how them hunger pains to your rib can turn a decent kid to doing the bid over stick-ups. Nothing come, so screw the consequences. I throw this black hoodie on, walk into this kitchen, grab my keys and my phone, call my man, see if he's with it, but he didn't pick up. I guess I'm on this solo mission. Time's hard, my God, I can't even lie. A 9 to 5, it's not what I'm trying to do to survive. I'm thinking, while on a hunt, somebody about to stumble out this club drunk without having that chain tucked. About to get that fucking chain tucked, nigga. Sending texts and sending threats like widow payments on some deadbeat dad shit. I hate you in the worst way. Spend money on rosé instead of your son's birthday. Mad quick, I told her, hold up, holy over tomorrow. Then went back up to the bar to get another glass in a bottle. Can't let her ruin my high tonight. Not alright. Plus I pulled this chicken with every sip. She's looking more and more like the model type. Yeah. Ayo, let's leave. I take a reach for my keys. I'm stumbling out the door looking for my car on the street. Till I see this black hood wearing staring, nigga trying to stick up. Shots go off, a failed victim. Damn.
That's
an ill ending.
I don't think it's over.
These two songs together, it's too late.
I gotta go on record as saying I hate playing the songs. I feel like it fucks up the flow.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I talk the most.
It's too late.
My point being that when Jose Canseco break the steroid scandal, he was right, but I still hated his guts and never want to take him seriously. That's how I feel about Tin Dangi. He was right when he was writing on Deadspin about all those calls, but fuck him anyway. I wish it wasn't him.
Understood.
I'm out.
Hey, so I'm going to, real quick, I'm going to stop. Did you guys stop recording? I mean, we can keep talking, but did you? I mean, we can keep going. You can put beats behind it later. All right, stop.
Yo, sir, you keep that all the time back until you go next to the next.